Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. Today, 7 November 2022, I regard as perhaps the most fraught with hazard of any day in American history. That would include Pearl Harbor, 9/11, you name it. I'm terribly worried what's about to happen here. We have massive U.S. preparation with war with Russia. Leaked NATO intelligence reveals it. The Biden administration, the Democratic Party, want nothing more than an excuse to cancel the midterm election to be held tomorrow. They're looking for any excuse. My apprehension is they're going to find it, that they're going to provoke a nuclear exchange with Russia and declare martial law to finesse the midterm, because they know otherwise they are going to be wiped out. The Democratic Party is about to be dismantled. It's going to be eviscerated, stem to stern. Have no doubt about it. So what do we have here? The information the government found out, Chris Black obtained, doesn't want him to reveal. Military assets are being moved into place. U.S. is deploying F-15s into Romania. Aircraft carrier strike group on a move through the Mediterranean. U.S. NATO troops being moved into Eastern Europe. 3 weeks ago, very, very quietly, the U.S. began loading M1A1 and M1A2 Abrams tanks. That's our main fighting vehicle for warfare, ground warfare, the Abrams tanks, onto roll-on, roll-off vessels in the United States. It took about a week for the first of them to transit to Greece. Upon arrival, they were unloaded. In other words, this has been in the making for some time now. In the past 2 weeks, the U.S. has sent slightly more than 1,000 Abrams tanks to Southeast Europe. They've also sent between 35 and 45,000 U.S. troops during the same period. Prior to these tanks and troops arriving, the U.S. had the equivalent of one armored division in all of Europe. As of today, they have enough for three armored divisions, or in the alternative, two armored divisions and two or three infantry divisions. Tomorrow, the Pentagon will begin airlifting weapons to Ukraine. So Russia's effort to avoid a conflict by diplomatic negotiation has been flatly and deliberately rejected. The West clearly wants war, and it looks like they're going to get what they want. And Biden wants it today. Today. Here's the problem. If NATO enters any conflict between Russia and Ukraine, then all NATO nations will immediately become legitimate targets for Russia to attack, including us, right here in the USA. Hence, he could declare martial law. Given that Russia now has hypersonic missiles the U.S. cannot defend against, things won't go well for us here. You have precious little time to top up, prep to keep yourself and your family safe, warm, dry. I'm reminded of these warnings being posted in a shopping mall in New Jersey and somewhere in New York saying, in case of a nuclear attack, go inside, take a shower, and remain in communication. The problem is there may be no building to go inside, that the water is not going to be working, and there will be no communication. So it's just horse shit. Meanwhile, Russia has ordered two strategic nuclear missile complexes to combat duty and close the North Sea route in the Arctic because of NATO activities. More, this is also highly disturbing. Loudspeakers, leave the city by November 7th, today. Something is hugely wrong, and it appears something truly wicked is in the works. Cars with loudspeakers are driving all through Kherson, warning citizens they must evacuate the city by November 7th. Evacuation has been ongoing for over a week now. The main admin building took down its Russian flag. You cannot see it. I'm looking at a photo of the building. City workers have been going door to door, telling citizens, the Ukrainian army is coming and you must get out immediately. Russian soldiers have even left or been ordered to leave their checkpoints in all the districts south of the Kashova River. There are multiple checkpoint locations that are open, abandoned. There's already widespread and rampant public speculation, even the media, that this may be an attempt by Russia to create a 15 to 30 kilometer no man's land to lure the Ukrainians into a trap. And there's a map here showing the region that is being evacuated. Others are speculating, and I must emphasize, this is mere speculation. Russia is going to lure the Ukrainians into the area and then evaporate it with tactical nukes and tell NATO, if you enter Ukraine, your countries will get this too. The same speculation claims Russia is planning to prove its point once and for all, that it will use nuclear weapons to defend Russian territory. Again, this is speculation. Let me add, Russia has been pretty clear that it was only going to use nukes to defend itself. But given the plans I've reported here on this show before to undertake locating nuclear missile batteries in Finland, where the flight time to Moscow would be 7 minutes, just 5 minutes more than from Ukraine, and that there's a plan afoot to undertake a massive attack to decapitate the command and control structure of the Russian military in Moscow. Aware of that being the case, if Putin calculates it's about to happen, then under international law, he's entitled to a preemptive strike to take it out. He can do that, perfectly legal, inconsistent with international law. And by God, I guarantee the Russian know what to, I mean, if we're reading about it in the press, for crying out loud, you think Vladimir Putin doesn't know what the hell is going on? Whatever is actually taking place. The now established fact that cars with loudspeakers are driving around Kherson, telling citizens they must be out by November 7th, by today, plays right into the elections here in the USA. Many have speculated the Democrats will do something to prevent their shellacking in the midterms tomorrow, November 8th. If Russia nukes Kherson on November 7th, It could very well be an actual nuclear explained update, meaning today. The Democrats would then use a nuclear war as an excuse to remain in power, even though there's no aspect of the U.S. Constitution or statutory law allowing such a thing. The term of office for members of Congress will expire. They expire. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. Once the date of January arrived, they are simply no longer elected office holders. Their term ends. Nothing they can do by emergency or presidential or can change the fact that the first week in January, their term is over and they are no longer elected officials. Unless, of course, they try to force the issue through the barrels of guns, then too. There's a very fair question of why November 7th. Why would Russia play into a U.S. election by picking that particular date? It cannot be a coincidence. There are no coincidences. Well, let me offer my speculation. Russia learned that there's a plan of the Ukrainians to attack Kherson on November 7th. The Russians learned the Ukrainians. This is not a plan of Russia to attack Kherson. This is a plan of Zelensky and company to attack Kherson. And look how that works for the Biden admin and even NATO, except that the Russian retaliation, if NATO provokes a war, is going to be massive and it's going to obliterate NATO. Then you see how it's playing out. It's not that Russia is planning to attack today. Is that they picked up the data that that's the Ukrainian plan. So they're trying to protect, as they have throughout. I mean, go way back when. It's after the coup engineered by Victoria Nuland in 2014, using $5 billion in American taxpayer dollars, that deposed the Russian-friendly president of Ukraine and imposed a Western stooge. Since then, Ukrainians have been shelling the Donbass, which is a home to many ethnic Russians, Russian speakers, people favorable to and supportive of Russia. They've killed over 2,000 over the years. This is among the major reasons Putin intervened in the special military operation on the 24th of February. He laid it all out in his magnificent speech of that day, explaining exactly why, but of course the American media would not even publish it. I mean, how insulting is that? Here you have a major world event taking place. You have the president of Russia, the most powerful nuclear armed nation in the world, by my judgment, intervening in Ukraine. There's a potential for a world war. He lays out all the reasons in a magisterial speech, and the West doesn't even publish it. Give me a break. For quite a while, some folks consider to be on the fringe have argued this is all theater, COVID, Ukraine war, all of it. They argue it's all planned years in advance by the powers that be as either bread and circuses for the masses or a true effort to smash the world through catastrophe and fear into a new world order. Well, we know there's an effort to create a new world order. We know people are dropping dead right and left. We know the pandemic was fake, but the vaccine is real and deadly. When you factor in that Russia went full COVID with the vaccine lockdowns, those were, however, Russian-produced vaccines. It seems now entirely possible a very small group of people who've told us for years that big events on Earth might be scripted could be right. If a nuke exchange takes place on November 7th, then it is all scripted, contends the author. But I say no, 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 no. Russia, having learned Ukraine's plan to attack on the 7th, evacuates the city to prepare. It's not all scripted except by the West, not by Russia. I don't believe for a second Putin is in on it. Putin, in my judgment, is a champion of humanity here, fighting the good fight. No less an authority than Jacob Rothschild, the head of the banking empire that controls 80% of the world's wealth and wants to make it 100%. Behind the World Economic Forum and the New World Order has declared Vladimir Putin is a threat to the New World Order and that the New World Order cannot advance without Ukraine. We also know most of the residents of Israel today are Ukrainians. They are descendants of the Khazarian region of Ukraine. They are Khazarians, ethnically, genetically. Which means that since the Ukrainians, the Khazarians are not Semites, but the Palestinians, of course, are, that Israel turns out to be the greatest practitioner of anti-Semitism in the world today. But moreover, I'm getting multiple reports that Israel believes its days in Palestine are numbered and it wants a new homeland, and where it wants that homeland to be situated is the region of its birth, formerly Khazaria, now part of Ukraine. Now, this does mitigate against the idea of using nukes, because why would the Khazarians want to return to a radioactively contaminated country? Remember, this is one of the points I made about going to war with Russia, where they have that super sub that launches all these little mini nuclear devices, mini bombs with nuclear warheads that can be exploded underwater to create tsunamis. I've heard very exaggerated estimates of the height of the wave, but it would be very, very substantial. I think 150 feet is probably a pretty good approximation. Moreover, it would be radioactive. So if push comes to shove and Russia is provoked to attack the United States, setting off a couple of these off the East Coast and the West would be devastating. Most of our population is on the East and the West Coast. Just imagine, say, one of these 150-foot tidal waves from Boston to Washington, D.C., including New York City. Remember, New York City is on an island, Manhattan Island. Heretofore, the most valuable real estate in the world. Well, after the tsunami, it's all radioactive for the next 250 years. I mean, just think about what happens to the United States under those circumstances. I've been told, actually, the U.S. electrical grid is more robust than I previously presumed in an EMP over the U.S. would not have the effect of taking it out. Now, I'm uncertain as to the truth of the matter, but I can certain of this. Russia has multiple ways of disabling and destroying the United States, multiple ways. And remember, among their ICBMs is a Satan II, which has 15 independent, multiple, independently targeted nuclear armed warhead. 15. One Satan II could take out all of France. I want you to understand that. Russia has a missile so powerful with 15 independently targeted nuclear warheads, a single one of these missiles could take out France. So, suppose they lob a few into the United States. Here's something else to consider. They have the best anti-missile missile systems in the world. The S-300, 400, and now 500. We really don't have anything comparable. Our so-called Iron Dome over Israel, the Patriot missiles, are kids' toys by comparison to the S-400, S-500. Kids' toys. So that, you know, we may think we can launch a massive attack, but Russia would have been able to shoot down most of those missiles. Now, presumably a few would get through, but I'm telling you, the damage Russia is in a position to inflict upon the West is overwhelmingly greater than the damage the West can inflict on Russia. But whether our political leaders, I mean, look how incompetent they are. But more importantly, even if you assume they're competent, if they want war, and I'm telling you, they want war. They do not want tomorrow to come to pass. They do not want the elections. It's going to be a wipeout, a wipeout. I think the Democrats will be out of power for the next 50 years after tomorrow. The next 50 years after tomorrow. They are scared shitless. Whoever's right, all these things seem to be telling us all that something wicked this way comes. We have until Monday, November 7th, today. Remember, Congress cannot extend its term of office under any circumstance. Since 1935, in accordance with the 20th Amendment of the Constitution, Congresses begin and end at noon on January 3rd of odd number years. at noon on January 3rd of odd number years. Each two-year Congress typically includes two legislative sessions, although third or special were common in earlier years. So after noon, January 3rd, 2023, they are no longer elected officials, no longer have due constitutional powers. After the Verquiet in January, if they remain in power without an election, it will be actual tyranny. Well, we've been witnessing a hell of a lot of tyranny. Another alternative to nukes. Ethan Huff reports, biological war imminent. Russia identifies unmanned aerial vehicles over Ukrainian port city of Kherson, equipped with containers capable of spraying bioagents. For quite a while, some folks consider to be on the fringe. That's part of what I've already reported wrong way. Here we go. Evidence has emerged to suggest U.S. NATO-led bioweapon operations are in fact taking place in and around Ukraine, and that Russia's experts there to dismantle the biological threat was among the reasons for intervening in Ukraine. A Russian permanent representative to the U.N., Vasily Nebenzia, revealed disturbing information in a recent speech where he described unmanned aerial vehicles equipped with 30-liter containers and equipment that can be used to spray bioagents. Three such vehicles were identified back on March 9th in the Kherson port region of Ukraine. About a month later, 10 more of the very same unmanned aerial drones were spotted in the area of Kakhovka. These facts are of particular importance considering a confirmed request from the Ukraine side to the Bayraktar UAV manufacturer about the maximum payload of Bayraktar Akinci UAVs, flight range up to 300 kilometers, and the ability to equip it with an aerosol generating system with a 20-plus liter capacity. It turns out that as of March 3rd, 2015, 7 years ago, there is a United States patent number, 8,960,029B1, linked to these strange weapons that could potentially be hauling biological weapons into Ukraine. U.S. legislation requires any patent issue to come with a complete description of the actual machine assembly as used. This would suggest the U.S. has, in fact, created and now potentially is about to unleash a bioagent delivering aerial vehicle system to be used as a weapon against Russia. This would not surprise me in the least. Ukraine has conveniently failed to mention any of this activity or the research covering such programs and projects, which date back to 2016. This also includes the use of UP-4 Flu Flyway and P-781 technology. Ukraine has also failed to report funding it has received from foreign state military departments, which are required in order to prevent or reduce the occurrence of ambiguities, doubts, and suspicions among states. This raises the question of a violation of political obligation regarding the submission of data on confidence-building measures adopted by the stated parties to the BTWC. What could be a more innocuous example? I mean, this is child's play. Of course they're going to lie about something like this. Why would anyone have even remotest doubt? The U.S. reports also miss the data on the programs and projects implemented outside U.S. national territory, or the financing thereof, or repeated appeals to the American side to provide exhaustive explanation with respect to such activities remain without due feedback. In essence, such secrecy and neglect of Russian claim by the United States confirm their validity. And by the way, this is also in Vladimir Putin's magisterial speech of February 24th. He said there are biolabs there. So this international treaty on biological warfare appears to be violated by the United States and Ukraine. And honest to God, nothing would surprise me less. Absolutely nothing. So what I say is, today, in my opinion, is the most precarious day in the history of the United States. The future, not only of the nation, but even of much of the world is at stake. If there is a limited nuclear war, it's been gamed out. And it turns out that even an exchange of tactical nukes that was restricted to Ukraine, which, by the way, is incredibly unlikely. Once it starts, it's going to go full bore, I believe, extremely fast. Even an exchange of tactical nukes in Ukraine is going to create sufficient contamination of the atmosphere to bring about the death of approximately one-third of the planet due to starvation. I mean, it's going to be horrendous. And remember, while the NWO is doing its best to reduce the world's population from 8 billion to 500 million, half a billion, getting rid of 7.5, by this calculation, 2.5 billion people are going to die if there's only a limited tactical exchange in Ukraine. And how probable is that? I'm sorry to say, all too probable. And remember, the U.S. is eager to do this. We're sending all these tanks. We're sending all these troops. We're financing these biological agents. We're beefing up our nuclear bombs. We're talking about a plan to decapitate the command and control of the Russian military by taking out Moscow with a barrage of missiles fired from Finland. I mean, look, this is a catastrophic scenario. You go back in world history, you'll find world wars have been provoked by far, far less than what we're talking about here and now. And today is the day.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So why are the Democrats scared shitless about what's going to happen tomorrow if the election is allowed to take place, if they can't prevent it, if they can't forestall it? Well, we know that Catholics have turned against them. Catholics have been turned off by the extreme position on abortion, allowing right up to the moment of birth. Even some promote after live birth abortion, meaning infanticide. Americans don't like that. You think Nancy Pelosi, who's herself a Catholic or pretends to be, would appreciate that? This is the most unpopular position on abortion in the United States. So Catholics are turning against them. Most Latinos are Catholic. They're further perturbed by what's happening on the border with the massive migration. And by the way, the latest report we have is that this is part of an agenda to flood the United States with 100 million migrants. 100 million migrants. And it appears Barack Obama, Bill Hill, Michelle, Pelosi, Schumer, the whole gang are in on this. It's going to permanently transform the United States. It's going to make us a third world nation. This is part of moving forward with a North American Union with no borders between Mexico and Canada and the United States. But the quality of life of the American citizen is plummeting. It's already falling because of inflation, which, by the way, far transcends abortion in the minds of Americans. But the point I'm making is abortion, which they've been beating the drums and promoting aggressively. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. Is backfiring. They're losing more votes than they're gaining. And blacks aren't enthusiastic. Inflation. One of the great benefits of Donald Trump, why we had a surging economy, why we saw the lowest earning wage earners see their wages rise at the fastest rate, was because he clamped down on the border. Trump was not supposed to be president. That was supposed to be Hillary. So you're going to have Obama and then Hillary and then God only knows that they're going to continue the destruction. This is their agenda. Have no doubt about it. You're seeing it take place before your very eyes. They control the House. They control the Senate. They control the White House. If they wanted to stop it, they could stop it. They're not stopping it because they want it. They want it. Well, they never ask the American people. The American people don't want it. And I think many, many Americans are catching on. They're understanding what the hell is going on. So this accidental president, Donald Trump, who actually cares about America, clamping down on the border, making us energy independent. Well, that was also a no-no. We got to destroy American energy independence. So first thing Biden does coming into office is cancel the XL pipeline and permits to drill on federal land. It was inevitable. Now he's draining the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to artificially reduce the price of gas before the midterm. I mean, these are treasonous acts, treasonous acts. And the Democrats, remember, they control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House, Nancy Pelosi, the House, Chuck Schumer, the Senate, they could all do something about it. They're not doing anything about it. Why not? Because they want it. They want it. Not the American people. Get this, even liberal Washington Post admits that GOP loves Trump, Democrats dislike. I think a better word would be despise Biden. The mega love for former President Trump dwarfs the tepid support for President Joe Biden, as even the Washington Post, Philip Bump, who's an irascible Trump critic, admitted Wednesday. He's unpopular with even members of his own party, often self-servingly, meaning they have aspirations of their own, calling for him not to run again. He's also already the oldest president in history, older at the start of his first term than Ronald Reagan at the end of his second. Bump lamented Biden's hints at a run for re-election despite tepid support, soaring inflation, and a sagging economy. While noting, Trump may need to be treated for a sprain after winking so aggressively at the idea of running for his old office in 2020. Nobody has any doubt that Trump is going to run again. Nobody. It turns out that once you declare you're running for president, certain legal obligations snap in. You have to have conform to a whole host of laws and all that. So it's advantageous to candidates on very practical grounds to defer their declaration of candidacy until such a point as they are willing to embrace all of those legal constraints and requirements. So they're very good reasons. I mean, this isn't a joke. This is simply sensible politics, practical politics. But pointing to the results of a recent YouGov poll, which found Republicans are strongly coalesced behind Trump, or alternatively, Ron DeSantis of Florida, while Democrats are fractured and unsure of whom they want on their ticket. Democrats, despite having the incumbent president, you see, in the past, have normally been thought to be the obvious guy for them to rally around, are more splintered in how they view potential, for all the obvious reasons. Guy's cognitively incompetent. He's befuddled. He shakes the air. He doesn't know where to go. He's got to read from a teleprompter. He doesn't have a word to say if it's not scripted. And when he gets off the script, he blunders, gaffes. They got to walk it back. The guy is disastrous. No wonder the American people repudiated him. Remember, while we're endlessly being told that it's a baseless claim that the 2020 election was stolen, it's a 100% fact. One more way in which Trump got it right when he denounced the fake news media. They lie all the time. Just think of the media, the propaganda arm of the Democrat Party, and you got it pretty close to right. Just think of George Soros as the acting president. You got it pretty close to right. Obama, Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett. They're calling the shots in Washington. Biden is their puppet, but they in turn are subservient to George Soros, who in turn is subservient to the Rothschild banking empire, the World Economic Forum, the New World Order. That's roughly the pecking order. This Barack Obama, who could never have legally served because he was not born an American citizen, he's not a natural-born citizen. The founding father was so wise, recognizing someone not an American native, natural-born American citizen might not have the best interests of the nation at heart. He has been working hard, day and night, 24/7, to bring about the destruction of the United States. He's just as fervent and dedicated to the dismantling the United States as George Soros. That's why they're working hand in glove. Republicans are more likely to say they want to see DeSantis and Trump on the ballot than Democrats were to say the same of Biden. And Republicans were as or more likely to identify Trump or DeSantis as a preferred candidate than Democrats were to say of Biden. The findings of a scrambled Democrat party show 9 candidates pass the 20% mark with an incumbent Democrat president, he observed, meaning this is astonishing. With an incumbent, you ought to have like 80% supporting the incumbent, except this incumbent is despised. He's incompetent. He's disgusting. And by the way, the Democrats so blew it when they brought out the dark Biden on that speech with the blood-red curtains, and he denounced the Republicans and MAGA supporters as domestic terrorists. F you, Joe Biden. That's what they're chanting. F you, Joe Biden. F you, Joe Biden. Deservedly so. Meanwhile, White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain says Biden's recent speech was one final warning. One final warning? White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain said Thursday morning Biden's Wednesday night speech was one final warning to election deniers. What the hell does that mean? Biden delivered a speech at Union Station in Washington, D.C., Wednesday night, touching on several topics such as the attack on Speaker Pelosi's husband, as well as election deniers. Biden condemned Republicans who denied the results of the 2020 election and said, American democracy is under attack because former President Donald Trump believes the election was stolen. Well, Hillary Clinton believes the election in 2016 was stolen. Does that mean democracy was under attack from Hillary Clinton? The hypocrisy, the talking out of both sides of their mouth, the lies coming from these Democrats. It's enough to make you puke. Klain doubled down on Biden's remarks, saying Biden was giving one final warning to election. What the hell does that mean? The president has been talking about the threat to our democracy since he launched his campaign in 2019. Again on January 6th, again in September in Philadelphia and in Bennett's Hall. I think the president decided a few days ago, he doesn't decide anything. It was important to issue a final warning to make it clear, to leave no doubt we have people out there still peddling a big lie. People now raising the issue of election denial in this election and, of course, a horrible incident involving Speaker Pelosi and her family, you know. Showing the rising threat of political violence. No, it shows that gay sex can lead to unexpected outcomes. I mean, it's ridiculous how they've been playing this story because it's so embarrassing. It's so lurid. It's so salacious that since its occurrence, it's been really the talk of Twitter. I mean, anywhere you have any free speech, you're talking about this absurdity. Where we even have from the report, the call in to the dispatcher from Paul Pelosi saying there's a man in his house. And then adding, his name is David and he's a friend. Would you believe the San Francisco district attorney claims there's no evidence they knew each other? No evidence they knew each other when this is a dispatch tape? This is the very first report we had from the house? And who the hell let in the police? They said when they got to the door, they saw that these two men were arguing on the ground, you know, and then the one took the hammer and hit Pelosi over the head while they were watching from the doorway. Well, someone let him in. It wasn't Paul Pelosi. He was on the ground about to have his head hit by the hammer. And the hammer, by the way, turns out to be a massive dildo. You can get it on Amazon.com. I immediately did a search. It's like $95, $33, batteries not included? It's a dildo in the shape of a hammer that gays, these guys, obviously in particular, were using on one another. And then they use the word hammer because it's designed like a... Look it up. I've got it in many of my reports now. I mean, it's just disgusting. This is showing the rising threat of political violence? No, it's showing gay sex can have untoward results even if you're a famous rich guy like the husband of Nancy Pelosi. And so I think, Ron Klain continues, all those things came together and led the president to make the strong remarks he made last night. Biden himself has cast doubt on election, including the outcome of the 2022 midterms. He said in January, the election would only be fair if the Freedom to Vote Act and the John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act were passed. It all depends on whether or not we're able to make the case to the American people that some of this is being set up to try to alter the outcome of the election. Biden said, well, I thought anyone who questioned the integrity of American election was un-American or a domestic terrorist. Well, here you got Joe Biden making just those insinuations. So what's going to happen here? Well, we have National Guard cybersecurity units activated in 14 states ahead of the midterm. This is significant. Cybersecurity units from the National Guard will be activated in 14 states to help counter any threats to election official networks ahead of, during, and following the November 8th election. The 14 include battleground states Arizona, Iowa, and Pennsylvania, as well as Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Louisiana, North Carolina, New Mexico, New York, Washington, West Virginia. Brigadier General Jet Walsh, commander of the Washington Air National Guard, said during a virtual media briefing on November 4th that not every state is doing it, but states that are activating these units have invested in cyber talent and cyber mission for years. If you don't have a cyber unit in your state, you're not in a good position to help them protect elections, Walsh said. He added the National Guard participation in election cybersecurity activities does add an air of credibility to what's out there, knowing that the National Guard is still one of the most trusted institutions in the United States. The plan comes after 8 states received support from cyber units in the National Guard during the primary election that took place earlier this year. According to those outlets, there are 38 dedicated cyber units within the Air and Army National Guard across the U.S. help to work with state and local officials on cyber-related issues, such as network assessment and risk mitigation. The cyber units collectively comprise more than 2,200 personnel. Our goal is to make sure we have as secure election as possible. We are at the early stages of all this, said Air Force Major General Richard Neely, head of the Illinois National Guard. National Guard official will receive cyber security updates from the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency in their work to support the elections. According to its website, CISI, that's the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, was created in 2018 during the Trump administration to work with government and industry partners to defend against current and predicted threats to cyber and physical infrastructure, including election. CISA Director Jan Easterly has repeatedly said she doesn't expect any major disruptions. She said at a November 1st event hosted by the Center for Strategic and International Studies, there is no information credible or specific about efforts to disrupt or compromise election infrastructure, and that she was very confident. We have done everything we can to make election infrastructure as secure and as resilient as possible. Well, I find that a bit disturbing. Meanwhile, Neely said he and his team are not expecting to see anything. Well, maybe not if the election doesn't even take place because martial law has been imposed because the Ukrainians have attacked Kherson with biological or nuclear weapons. maybe they won't expect to see anything because the election isn't even going to take place. But by God, they're going to try to steal it. Don't have any doubt about it. Much as we did after January 6th, if the guard's called in, the guard responds as needed. We're not expecting anything with what we're seeing. That's pretty naive. Army Major General M. Todd Hunt, Adjutant General of the North Carolina National Guard, said at a November 4th media briefing the state is a joint cyber mission center that will facilitate communication between the state cyber unit, its departments of information technology and emergency management, as well as federal contacts from CISA, DHS, and the FBI. Oh, that's reassuring. DHS, which runs all these FEMA drills all over the country to take away our guns. That's reassuring. FBI, which covers everything up, which protected the Anthony Weiner laptop so Hillary wouldn't be in jeopardy in 2016, and protected the Hunter Biden laptop so Biden wouldn't suffer any fallout in 2020, though they had that one wrapped. According to the outlet, Hunt said there'll be 25 Guard members on duty in the cyber unit for North Carolina Election Day tomorrow, up from the usual core team of 10. The extra members will include federal and emergency management partners. We will surge during the election to ensure we have 24-hour coverage throughout this whole process. We are citizen soldiers. We live in this state, and we have a vested interest in our state elections as well as federal. Meanwhile, reporter blows whistle on Paul Pelosi narrative. You won't believe what the mainstream media is doing. Almost immediately after news hit that Nancy Pelosi's husband was assaulted in their home, the left politicized it. Even though we knew nothing about the event, they were trying to use it to tarnish Republicans. The signs point to Democrats losing big this November, tomorrow. It isn't a surprise liberals would manipulate a disturbing story to push their agenda, even when what they're sweating is far from the truth. Circumstances surrounding the event are still confusing and shaky. This is in part thanks to the incompetence and possible corruption of the San Francisco Police Department, a police department that is most certainly politicized by the left. There are major issues concerning this story that reporters are not addressing, though. The MSM is pushing a narrative with zero evidence and is not asking real questions. And now, a top reporter is explaining why. Independent journalist Glenn Greenwald said Sunday there was a very simple reason. Members of his chosen profession seemed unwilling to question the narrative surrounding the alleged attack on Paul Pelosi. Namely, the possibility that asking questions could put their careers at risk. It is very possible that the instantly formed media narrative, Paul Pelosi's attacker was a mega fanatic who broke in to murder Nancy, will be proven true. Not a chance. But right now, there's so many glaring doubts and holes in that story that it just takes common sense to question it, Greenwald began. He then shared a tweet from Steve Krakauer, including just a few of the questions he thought media ought to be asking. Why wasn't there signs of forced entry at the Pelosi home? Who was the third person to open the door for police? Why was Pelosi holding hammer attack only happened after police arrived? Where is the body cam and security footage? Why isn't the press asking these questions? Many online are wondering why this event between Paul Pelosi and his alleged attack sounds so weird. There were no reports of forced entry in the house, so how did this man get in? Reports revealed Pelosi made a 911 call from a bathroom. Why would his attacker let him make a bathroom break and many more? Some folks online have already formed their own hypothesis about this event, which will quickly be censored and fact-checked as disinformation soon enough. But Greenwald revealed that reporters in the media will in no way do their job to run this story to the ground. They will not ask these and other important questions because it would make Nancy Pelosi and her family look bad. They are facing a terrible midterm election cycle. The story has come out at the very worst time. Democrats are scrambling to push a wildly untrue version of the event. The attack was a known leftist, in no way could be a MAGA supporter, but the truth doesn't matter when you are a corrupt, evil political party hell-bent on selling America to the highest bidder. Well said, Glenn Greenwald. And just to mention a couple of other facts about the matter. Pelosi was nigh treated for a skull fracture, which would occur when he's hit over the head with a hammer, this vibrating dildo, shaped like a hammer, loaded with batteries, like being hit over the head with a heavy flashlight, would appear to have been the cause of death of JonBenet Ramsey, who apparently wet her bed and upset her mother, who freaked out and hit her with a flashlight, killing her. And then wrapped her up so methodically and touchingly and even drew a heart in the palm of her hand. But he also suffered damage to his right hand and arm. How would that happen? From breaking out the window. The glass was on the outside, not the end. He broke it out to try to fake it. Probably Nancy told him to do it, make it look like a break-in. Nancy would tell him what to do. He would do it. This is so embarrassingly bad. I guarantee you, it has had a calamitous effect on the Democrats because it meant they had no opportunity here leading right up to the midterm to try to sell their version of what had happened. And their version, of course, was complete bullshit. But the point is, I mean, if they had any other theme they wanted to market about, you know, why you should vote Democrat, it has been lost in the scandal. This is horrific, stunning stuff. And they're deservedly going down big time if the election is allowed to proceed. And again, I don't take anything for granted here. Nothing.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. The the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
When the original story broke, the police dispatch audio, Paul Pelosi, when calling cops, said, he doesn't know who the male is, but he advised that his name is David and he is a friend. I mean, how contradictory can you get? He doesn't know who the male is, but he knows his name is David and he's a friend? I mean, obviously, Americans are paying attention, could be all over this. Later in the day, the FBI visited a Berkeley home linked to David DePap, which neighbors call the Hippie Collective. Jackson Van Der Becken tweeted, Hippie Collective. Listen to some of these comments. Given their handles, Biden is a fraud, wrote. The police verified they were both in their underwear attacking each other with a hammer. Paul Pelosi's lover, David DePap, a Berkeley Green Party member, is very likely the unidentified person who was with Paul when he got busted for a DUI. A lot more what is going on than meets the eye. Following up on the Elon Musk observation that there's the tiniest possibility that there may be something more going on here than meets the eye. Dick Turpin. And police seem to have dropped the assailant, broke into the house tag. The assailant was in the house, but did not break in. What does that tell us? The White Hats. I want to hammer this home. The break-in story is beyond far-fetched. The Pelosi's have security of the yin-yang under normal circumstances. This was likely a drug-fueled party scene or a lover's spat. Suspicious voter. Definitely. And this cockamamie story in the press is ridiculous. Consider this. One story said the alarm went off and police were doing a welfare check. This story has so many holes it was probably concocted by the corrupt inept FBI. Live free or die. There was no forcible entry into the house or Paul. Dorothea, 76. Broken glass was found outside the house, not inside the home. Breaking in would cause glass to be inside the house. The man found in only his underwear with Paul Pelosi was also in the car when Pelosi was arrested for DUI and some site claim the guy is a male prostitute, and the hammer they were fighting over is a sex toy. The 911 call has been released, and Paul P. sounds confused per reports. John Galt. The confusion in the reports of the hammer is because it was a 24-ounce dildo called the hammer, sources confirm. Nick Fischiato. Pelosi got pounded by a prostitute with a plastic penis? Another, let it be me. His backside was forcibly entered. You can bet your undies on that, Mr. Freedom Fighter. Eric, can you blame him? Naked Hammer Man sounds more appealing than denture malfunction, Nancy. And oh God, oh gross, ha 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 ha. Fred L. Nasty Nancy could be the cause of erectile dysfunction worldwide. John Mansville. Little Polly has been getting into a lot of trouble lately while Mama Pig Glossy away. John Campbell. David DePap was a nudist, so maybe underwear was his way of wearing armor. Delta Blue. Misidentified as a nudist if underwear is involved. It was Zbig Brzezinski in his... Let me repeat. Further reason we have thinking about Zelensky speaking out on the risk of nuclear war. There's no need to fear Russia's ultimatum to take them seriously, the Ukrainian president has claimed. The threat of a nuclear conflict does exist, Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky told Czech television Wednesday, adding, though, he does not see it as a likely possibility. There's no need to be afraid of Russia, the Ukrainian leader added. I do not think we should be afraid of that, he told journalist Michael Kubal when asked about the possibility of a nuclear war. We must not take their Russian ultimatums and pressure seriously. Remember, it was failing to take them seriously that led to the incursion into Ukraine in the first place. Kiev will not make any compromises with Moscow, Zelensky added. We will just settle for victory. Adding that the Russians must retreat from all the territories Kiev considered a part of Ukraine, including Crimea. That's never going to happen, mind you. Crimea was part of Ukraine. In fact, Ukraine was part of Russia for hundreds of years. There's no way Russia will surrender Ukraine. If they, the Russians, do not leave Donbass and Crimea, it would not mean the end of the war, the Ukrainian president stated, adding that each side would just amass their forces in preparation for a new conflict instead of ending it through diplomacy and negotiation. Right, no diplomacy, no negotiations. Zelensky also said the fact that Ukraine had not created a strong security and defense system in over 30 years of its independence was Kiev's biggest mistake. At the same time, he noted, there are nations that still push Ukraine toward a compromise with Russia. He did not name them, but said it is not a new situation to us and that Kiev would not give in to their pressure. Moscow has repeatedly signaled it was ready for negotiating with Kiev to end the conflict in October. However, Zelensky signed a decree officially rejecting peace talks with the Russian president. In late September, Putin vowed to defend Russia's territory and people using all the forces and resources we have. The remarks were widely interpreted by Western pundits and officials as a veiled nuclear threat. The Russian president later pointed out that Moscow had never threatened to use nuclear weapons. His words, however, did not alleviate fears in the West. U.S. President Biden, who had previously warned of a nuclear Armageddon, continue to question why Russia keeps talking about nuclear weapons if it does not plan to use them. Bear in mind, as I began, 3 weeks ago, very, very quietly, the U.S. began loading M1A1 and M1A2 Abrams tanks onto roll-on, roll-off vessels in the United States. It took about a week for the first of those ships to transit to Greece. Upon arrival, those tanks were unloaded. They are there. This has been in the works for some time now. It's a major operation to send thousands of tanks far abroad across the Atlantic Ocean. In the past week, The U.S. has sent slightly more than 1,000 M1A1, M1A2 Abrams tanks to southeastern Europe. We have also sent between 25 and 45,000 U.S. troops. Prior to these tanks and troops arriving, the U.S. had the equivalent of one armored division in all of Europe. As of today, they have enough for three armored divisions, or in the alternative, two armored divisions and two or three infantry. Tomorrow, the Pentagon begins airlifting weapons to Ukraine. So, Russia's effort to avoid a conflict by diplomatic negotiation of their security concerns have been flatly and deliberately rejected. The West clearly wants war, and it looks today they're going to get what they want. And I'm telling you, I believe it's going to happen today. And in case it got lost, when I inadvertently silenced my mic to take a call, the Democrats may think it's going to flip the script with regard to support for the Democrat Party politically, because in times of war historically, the American people have rallied in support of their president. After 9/11, George W. Bush popularity skyrocketed 85%. I strongly suspect the Democrats think they can do it here. That in spite of all of the absurdities of everything I've been reporting, where inflation is soaring, the economy is in a shamble, the borders wide open, the great transgender agenda is insulting parents across the board. Everyone despises Joe Biden. Everyone knows Kamala Harris doesn't even have a functioning brain. Everyone knows the election was stolen. Everyone knows January 6th was manufactured. I don't think there's a ghost of a chance if we get into a nuclear war with Russia now, as I am predicting, and that it's going to happen today. So if we're alive and well tomorrow, I'm going to be tremendously relieved. They think they're going to flip the script. It's not going to happen. And remember, under the Constitution on January 3rd, no one in Congress, in the House of Representatives, continues to be in office. And a third of the Senate no longer in office. Think about it.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, ordinarily, I'd be taking callers at this point, but Mitchell has had to run an emergency assisting someone with a medical appointment and cannot field the call. So, alas, on this, which may be in part our last semi-normal day under this horrific administration, if I'm right, the situation's going to get dramatically worse today. I want to continue with a reaction to the outrageous suggestion of amnesty for those who brought us the vax and massive death and destruction from Zero Hedge. You murderous hypocrites. Outrage ensues after The Atlantic is a far left publication, not responsible reporting whatsoever. Amnesty for pandemic authoritarians. The Atlantic has come under fire for suggesting that all the terrible pandemic-era decisions over lockdowns, school closures, masking, and punishing an entire class of people who question the efficacy and wisdom of taking a rushed experimental vaccine for a virus with a 99% survival rate in most should all be water under the bridge. We need to forgive one another for what we did and said when we were in the dark about COVID, wrote Brown professor Emily Oster, a huge lockdown proponent who now pleads for mercy from the once shunned. Let's acknowledge that we made complicated choices in the face of deep uncertainty and then try to work together to build back and move forward. Build back? Where have we heard that phrase before? Build back? Except we weren't in the dark about COVID. There were numerous sources pointing out the actual science ran contrary to the mandate claims, and they were deliberately silenced by a vast media campaign. Evidence suggests media platforms worked in tandem with big tech, then the CDC and the Biden admin. It was not a simple matter of overreaction. There was collusion to remove all counterinformation. Nice try, Emily. Let me emphasize here, by the way, that as Sir Karl Popper has explained, our most reliable method to discover the truth is open and unfettered debate and exchange of information and argument and ideas. When one side is suppressed or silenced, that debate cannot take place because you're not even allowed to offer the evidence in support of your position. rather like my experience in the courts of Wisconsin, stunning. And where, by the way, I'm back at the Supreme Court with a petition to be reheard with new legal arguments and new evidence about Sandy Hook. Check out my latest blog at jameshfetzer.org. You're going to find a whole lot there that's going to blow you away, and understand it's already on the docket of the U.S. Supreme Court. As the Daily Skeptic, Michael P. Singer, put it, there's a lot wrong here. First, no, you don't get to advocate policies that do extraordinary harm to others against their wishes, and then say, we didn't know any better at the time. Ignorance doesn't work as an excuse when the policies involved abrogating your fellow citizens' rights under an indefinite state of emergency while censoring and canceling those who weren't as ignorant. The inevitable result would be a society in which ignorance and obedience to the opinion of the mob would be the only safe position. And look at that ratio. In one epic Twitter thread, Claremont Institute senior fellow Matthew J. Peterson excoriates Oster's entire premise. Hey, sorry you lost your job because of the vaccine doesn't work and your grandmother died alone and you couldn't have a funeral and your brother's business was needlessly destroyed and your kids have weird heart problems. But let's just admit we were all wrong and call a truce, eh? It's too bad we shut the entire economy down and took on tyrannical powers that have never been used before in this country. Looking back, you should have been able to go to church and use public parks while we let people riot in the streets. But it was a confusing time for everyone. Hey, I'm sorry. We scared the hell out of you and lied for years and persecuted and censored anyone who disagreed. But there was an election going on and we really wanted to beat Donald Trump. So it was important to radically politicize the science, even if it destroyed your children's lives. Okay, yes. We said unvaccinated people should die and not get health care while never questioning Big Pharma once. But we are compassionate people, which is why even though we shut down the entire economy, we also bankrupted the nation, caused inflation. You're welcome. Let's be friends. As Q2R's fringe finance notes, Oster's plan for the decency that her app failed to offer up to most Americans during the throes of the pandemic comes at a point where the COVID narrative has been all but lost by the Democrats and the mainstream media. There have been several recent large wins for the unvaccinated who had the Constitution and backbone to stand up for themselves throughout a year of being constantly berated and ferociously scorned as second-class citizens. A majority of the media and Democrats had demanded that these people be removed from society and generally subject to scorn and ridicule. Now, in a moment that many of us knew would eventually be coming, apologies are being made around the world for how the unvaccinated were treated, as Fox News wrote last week. The premier of Alberta, Canada, said she is working on a plan to pardon residents who were fined or arrested over breaking coronavirus protocols and apologized to unvaccinated Canadians who faced discrimination. In New York, a Supreme Court judge recently reinstated all employees who were fired from the jobs for being unvaxxed. The court found Monday that being vaccinated does not prevent an individual from contracting or transmitting COVID-19. New York City Mayor Eric Adams claimed earlier this year that his administration would not rehire employees who had been fired over the vaccination status. The guy turns out to be a complete moron. People who thought he'd be good because crime surged and he was a cop failed to mention that he's stupid, that the guy's a jerk, that he has no idea what he's doing. He's completely over his head. Eric Adams, good God. The problem was not people's ignorance of the facts. It was the organized antagonism and censorship against anyone presenting data that was contradictory to the mandate agenda. This setting aside proclamation like those from the LA Times, which argued that mocking the deaths of anti-vaxxers might be necessary and justified. Mocking the death of anti-vaxxers might be justified. After 2 years of this type of arrogant nonsense, it's hard to imagine people would be willing to pretend as if all is well. The active effort to shut down any opposing data is a root crime, though, and no, it can never be forgotten or forgiven. People are livid. F. Billy McMorris tweets, they were tossing terminally ill people off of organ transplant lists and all call for mercy. Arizona gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake wants investigation. Carrie Lake tweets, I want to have a commission to investigate COVID and how it was handled in this state and end up any similar criminal charges that need to be made, because we're not just going to forget what happened when our lives were turned upside down. She's terrific. About a week or 10 days ago, she held a press conference where she gave 150 examples of Democrats disputing the outcomes of elections. 150 examples. She is a pistol. The Democrats are scared shitless of Carrie Lake, too. Here's Rollo Tomasi tweeting, this is where I spent the last 10 months with my mother before she died alone on December 3rd, 2020. You murderous hypocrites have nothing but my undying contempt. Rot in hell. I think a lot of people feel this way. I think a lot of people feel this way. Dr. Sidney Watson tweets, resharing this? Because let's forgive, right? Nope. As Couturier further notes, many Americans whipped themselves into such a terrified hypnotic frenzy that they found themselves clinging to big government to impose their will, advocating for the same draconian and fascist-sounding policies they always claim to be fighting against. For example, Rasmussen, which I find to be among the most reliable of all the polling companies, reported in January 2022 that Democrat voters supported the following COVID policy ideas, my annotations in bold. Fines for the unvaccinated. These are what the Democrats supported. Fines for the unvaccinated. 58% of voters would oppose a proposal for federal or state governments to fine Americans who chose not to get a COVID vax. How's the rest? 59% of Democrats would favor a government policy requiring the citizen remain confined to their homes at all time, except for emergencies if they refuse to get a COVID vax. I think that first may have a missing nod. It should probably be 58% of voters would support a proposal for federal or state governments to fine Americans who chose not to get a COVID vax. That's more consistent with the data. Imprisonment for questioning the vax. Nearly half, 48% of Democrat voters think federal and state governments should be able to fine or imprison individuals who publicly question the efficacy of the existing COVID vax on social media, radio, television, online, or digital publication. So it's got to be 58% of voters would support a proposal for fining Americans who choose not to be vaxxed. Forced quarantine. 45% of Democrats would favor governments requiring citizens to temporarily live in designated facilities or locations. These are FEMA camps, boys and girls, FEMA camps. If they refuse to get a COVID vax. Stripping people of their children. 29% of Democrat voters would support temporarily removing parents' custody of their children if parents refuse to take the COVID vax. That's more than twice the level of support in the rest of the electorate. 7% of Republicans, 11% of unaffiliated for such a policy. 29% removing parental custody. Good God. Unsurprisingly, American Federation of Teachers Chief Randy Weingarten, who flunked the pandemic by pushing for school shutdowns as long as she possibly could before parents revolted, is a big fan of amnesty. Seth Mandel tweets, I've decided that I should be on the pardon list if that's still on the list. I agree with Professor Emily Oster, just as the head of the teachers union tweeted, let's just forget this happened. One cannot help but notice that the timing of the Atlantic's appeal for passive forgetfulness coincides with the swiftly approaching midterm elections, in which polls suggest a much greater chance of a conservative upset than Democrats previously expected. Though the Atlantic doesn't admit it, there is a growing political backlash to the last 2 years of meaningless lockdowns and mandates, and Democrats were instrumental in the implementation of both. A large swath of the population sees one party as the cause of much of their COVID-era strife. Perhaps the mainstream media is suddenly realizing that they may have to face some payback for the COVID zealotry. We didn't know. We were just following orders. It all sounds rather familiar. One more great reason to vote against the Democrats. George Will used to be a serious commentator. He's long since, in my opinion, fallen off of the radar. But get this. Washington Post columnist calls for both Biden and Harris to drop out in 2024 for the good of the country. While some Democrats have expressed buyer's remorse about the last election, others are standing with the president, at least for now. Things could change dramatically after the midterms. In his Washington Post column on Wednesday, never-Trumper George Will has made a suggestion to the Democrat National Committee. Don't put Joe Biden or Kamala Harris on the 2024 ticket. Will says that Biden's very obvious confusion, his overstepping of his role, his penchant for prevarication are all disqualifying. He sums it up with the outright lies Biden has told about the massive vote buying student loan forgiveness executive order that bypassed Congress in violation of the Constitution Appropriations Clause, and then telling donors that it was done through a bill that was already passed. Will gave examples that must really be seen to be believed. Here's more of what he had to say. During this summer's avalanche of political news, an enormous bounder bounced by barely noticed. It demonstrated why Joe Biden should not seek another term. Democrats should promptly face that fact. And this one, an Everest of evidence shows that Vice President Harris is starkly unqualified to be considered as his successor. The boulder, meeting recently with some progressive activists, Biden said his $426 billion student loan forgiveness was accomplished by a law that he had just signed. I got it passed by a vote or two. No, he did not. It is frightening, writes Will, that Biden does not know or remember what he recently did regarding an immensely important policy. He must be presumed susceptible to similar future episodes of similar bewilderment. He should leave the public stage on January 20th, 2025. Will then took aim at Vice President Kamala Harris for her indecipherable word salads and arrogance of not bothering to prepare before a public address. Transcripts of Harris's verbal meanderings cannot convey their eerie strangeness. Videos of them should be watched. She sounds, as a critic has said, like someone giving a book report on a book she has not read. Her style betrays a self-satisfied exaggeration of her aptitudes, lacking natural talent. She needs to prepare, but evidently doesn't. Complacency and arrogance make a ruinous compound. Washington Post, November 2nd. He gave several examples that must be seen to be believed. While discussing broadcast internet and the significance of the passage of time in Louisiana, RCN Research tweeted, Kamala Harris, The significance of the passage of time, right? The significance of the passage of time. So when you think about it, there is great significance to the passage of time. There is such great significance to the passage of time. Absolutely vacuous. Harris says, the thing that excites her most about the Inflation Reduction Act is electric school buses. I have a particular fondness, I must tell you, for electric school buses, claims Harris. I love electric buses. I really do. I've been on these electric school buses. 25 million school children in our country every day go to school on these diesel-fueled school buses, and hundreds of thousands of school bus drivers are driving those buses, which are then these people, these children, these adults are inhaling what is toxic air. In Poland, she was confused about compass points, a post-millennial tweeting. Kamala Harris. I am here, standing here on the northern flank, on the eastern flank, talking about what we have in terms of the eastern flank and our NATO allies and what is at stake at this very moment. Speaking about space, Kamala Harris on space is truly remarkable. At an international conference, she made this erudite point on the world stage. Kamala, we will work together and continue to work together to address these issues, to tackle these challenges, and to work together as we continue to work operating from the new norms, rules, and agreements that we will convene to work together. We will work together. The most scathing part of the piece, and this is this one where, to paraphrase Will, Biden is that container of unpopular leftovers that get lost in the back of the fridge and is slowly growing bold, while Harris is the vegetable that was picked too early and didn't quite ripen properly. But it's the best you're going to get. Regarding Biden and Harris, the National Democrat Party faces two tests of stewardship. It's premature, cannot again be bestowed on either of them. Biden is not just past his prime or even adequacy in his past. And this is Harris's prime, writes Will. Geez, George, what do you really think of the president and the vice president? Polling shows most Americans agree with Mill that neither of them should run in 2024. The way they've screwed up the country. Many Democrats agree with that assessment. Some Democrat candidates in 2022 are distancing themselves from the Biden-Harris administration, including specific stances they've taken on crime, the border crisis, and parental rights. Other Democrats are waiting in the wings to announce their intention to run in 2024 once they can pin the coming red wave on Clueless Joe and Cackling Kamala. Heck, California Governor Gavin Newsom is already measuring drapes in the White House. He's raising money for a likely run and cutting ads against Florida's top gov, Ron DeSantis, who's also expected to vie for the White House in 2024. It's hard to believe there are still two more years of this administration left to go. Biden's confusion is getting worse and worse. As noted by Will, the president's inability to recall that his student loan forgiveness was an executive order and not a bill passed by Congress is pretty scary, but it's more than that. Recently, Biden was talking about the war in Ukraine and mistakenly said Iraq because he was thinking about his son, Beau, who died in Iraq. The problem is that Biden, Beau, died because of a brain tumor in the United States 6 years after his return from Iraq. Biden also recently said he graduated from one of the historically black colleges and universities, Delaware State. But he went to the University of Delaware, which is not an historically black college or university. How does someone get that sort of detail wrong? And that doesn't even touch on his handshakes with the invisible man, not knowing which way to get off a stage, his bizarre behavior with women and children, his need for White House staff-prepared cards to tell him his every move. These lapses really should prompt calls for the invocation of the 25th Amendment. Then when we left with Kamala Harris, and nobody wants that. Perhaps this is the real reason Biden chose Harris as his running mate, insurance against the 25th. Dems voted for Biden in 2020, but surprise, they've also subjected everyone to cackling Kamala. What George Will doesn't seem to get is if Democrats wanted to do things for the good of the country, they wouldn't be Democrats. Can I say, tomorrow, if we have the opportunity, vote. Take this opportunity to get these monsters out, political power out of their hands. They are doing so much, so destructive to the United States. We cannot allow it to continue. Get rid of them. Vote for the candidate of your choice, but I say if you're voting Democrat, you're making a most unwise use of the power, and you know it. You know it. The evidence clear. It's simply overwhelming. And let me add, as I have so often, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friendly people you love. We literally do not know how much time we have left. And if I've got it right, the worst may begin today. Today, 7 November 2022. Stand by. We're about to see how all of this is going to play out. Once again, thanks for being here. The situation is as serious as it could possibly be. I'm very worried they're going to play the war card in the hope that by going to war with Russia, the American people are going to fall into place as loyal supporters of their nation at war. It happened after 9/11. They're hoping it's going to happen again, which would be 11/7. That's a date that may likewise go down in infamy. We're here. We're here. It's today. Let's hope we see each other tomorrow.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence...